No, I did not.
Is there any scenario that you could imagine?
Well, I believe in our guys. I believe in the players we have out there. If you look at the plays he got beat on, you know, he didn't make the play at the ball. First one, he got a bad start. He looked back too early. There's different reasons for every one of them. But, no, I did not. Now, at the end of the game, I switched, put Kerry over and matched him up. But I didn't take him out of the game. You know, we've come a long way. It's been a long season. There's been ups and downs, and part of it is hanging together as a team and fighting through slumps. Every player has slumps and runs where they're really playing well. And I think part of being a team and collective group, there's only four corners, you know, that are active at the time. And Nolan's got a big role in the dime, and Boyk's got one in nickel. And once you start making those changes, it trickles out there. He was completely busting coverages and getting beat and turned around, but it wasn't the case. There were some damn good throws being made on him, and yeah, there was three of them, and that's a lot. And that's why I made the switch to match up the others. But I have faith in Fletch, even though he didn't have a good game.
I know hindsight's 20/20, but looking back upon the film, do you wish maybe you did a little more to help Fletcher a little earlier?
Almost half of the snaps, I had doubles on 88. I had doubles on Dez. And early on, you saw the Witten getting the balls. And in calling the game, you're constantly moving between five-man pressure or six-man pressure or doubling of a receiver. You can't do it all on the same call, so you have to choose where you're giving help to, whether it's help to the rush and the pressure on the quarterback or it's help on doubling a receiver or bracketing a receiver. And I'll give Romo credit. He really did. When he was doubled and we had the two on him, he went to his other receivers. When we had the help or the pressure somewhere else, he went out to Dez. And I think the biggest difference in the two games that we had, we stopped the run, I believe, you know, equally well. There's a lot of shots on goal. There's 40 run attempts. But it was the play of Tony Romo and the throws. The throws in Thanksgiving were underthrown and bad. And we were coming back and making plays. The throws the other night were on the money. And they were right where they needed to be.
Billy, you mentioned that Nolan does a lot for you in dime. If needed to, could Bradley play that role? Or has he had any practice in it?
No, he cannot. No, Nolan and Boyk can go out, but Kerry and Fletch aren't trained to go in. It's a long process to get those guys trained in there, and it's got a lot to do with leverage and help, and it happens a little bit quicker, and the guys are quicker in there. It's a completely different role, and no, they're not trained.
Well, nobody likes to get second guessed. I'm sure you've racked your brain over this issue, you know, last couple of days. Was there any point where you said to yourself, maybe I should have Kerry, Williams, Shadow, Dez Bryant, and just move him to the left side?
There was that point in the fourth quarter. Now, should I have done it either? Well, no, it wasn't. When you look at the two games we played last year and you watched Fletch and Kerry matched up on Dez in the game in Thanksgiving, there was no reason to say either one of them would do better or worse than the other because they both have had plays against Dez made on them and they have made plays on him. So to start the game, no. And I really believe that
progress of the game. At some point, did you think about it before the fourth quarter at all?
No. When I thought about it, I did it. And again, there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of things are going through your head. And when you see a great throw and catch made, a lot of times that doesn't trigger you to say, oh, that guy's really struggling. It's when you see, you know, really poor technique involved in that same play that you see it. And one of them was a very poor technique and one of them was a great throw. So, no, not until the fourth quarter.
What happened with Boykin when he abandoned coverage there in the slot late in the game? We had
his own coverage there, and he expanded too quick. It really was. He's got to read if a vertical happens, and he expands. And what felt like a vertical to him wasn't a vertical. It actually sat down. So part of that is my coaching on that technique. He left it too quick is all that happened there.
Did you blitz more Sunday than you did in the first Dallas game?
It was about the same, but actually the blitzes kept going out to Dez and turning into touchdowns, so I backed off a little bit and went to the four-man rush and put the extra coverage out there as we went on. So pressure was part of the plan going in, but Tony did a nice job of getting the ball out and hurting our pressures.
When you were in single high, do you think your safety rotated fast enough to Bryant's side or cheated that way, or should he have been?
No, because he was looked off. And, again, that's what good quarterbacks do. He saw the single. He saw the pressure. He looked away, and then he threw the vertical. So we did a lot of disguising of single high and split safety and when we were double and when we weren't, knowing you have a quarterback that can diagnose all that. And the guys did a nice job of executing our disguises. And, again, I guess at the end of the day, I got to take my hat off to the execution that they had and the way he placed the ball and threw the ball. And at the end of the day, they were better than us on that Sunday.
That first drive, Jason Witten had, I think, three catches for first downs. I know the one Jenkins was right on, and the other two, it looked like he had some space. What happened on those two?
We had an in-and-out going on, and Beasley, and they stacked, and they really did a nice job of attacking the tool that we were using. That, you know, we have an in-and-out means the first guy in, one guy has, first guy out, the other guy has. Well, they stacked, and they went upfield with a stack, which makes it a little cloudy. And then they both broke to leverage, and they got us on that one. And we just switched our tools later on, and it didn't hurt us again. But that's part of the game within the game that we're doing. And I really am excited about the way our secondary is really, from last year to this year, really understand those tools. And we knew we got beat in that tool. They had a better call than we had in that tool. But then we went to switching the tools, and later on that very same pattern did not hurt us.
You know, you say that you're getting a really terrific amount of production from Vinny Curry relative
yes.
to the number of snaps he's on the field. Do you view that as a function of when you're using him and how often you're using him, that if you kept him on the field more, that you'd be asking him to do more things that he's not as adept at?
Yeah, I think you have to be very careful when you talk about sacks per snap. I love Vinny. Vinny has been outstanding for us. Do not misinterpret this. But we've got a lot of guys who go in on runs, on rundowns, and if you take them to that same, you know, judgment that you're making on, he's like, well, this guy's way better than the other guy. We put Vinny in on very obvious passing situations, and we try to make calls to help Vinny win and our guys win. And he's doing a great job of getting those sacks. But if you increased his number, I'm just increasing the number of times he's playing the run, and he's getting a lot better at that. But his sack numbers, I don't think, would change. I really don't.
Would you have Trent Cole Saturday?
I don't know. There's still some decisions that have to go on in Trent's camp, and I don't think so. I don't know for sure, but I think he'll be back the next week if he's not in this week. So,
what's your comfort level then with like Brandon Graham, you know, starting in his place, and also Brian Braman, you know, probably as the backup?
Oh, there? We have nothing, the utmost confidence in BG and his ability to go in there. He plays 25, 30 snaps a game, and he's doing a great job with it. Our rotation will be a little more limited. Marcus will go back to another role as an outside backer. He'll still train. We're going to cross-train him, but he'll get the practice reps. We got to dust off some of his outside backer stuff. But he could be used either way, which is kind of a benefit that we picked up by cross-training him. And we have confidence in Brian also.
If you get set for Washington, how difficult is it to get tendencies of RG3 because they have changed quarterbacks so much?
Yeah, you know, that's a difficulty right now. There's three quarterbacks that they've used all year, and they all have a little bit different personality to them. And the offense that came at us with Kirk Cousins is going to be different than what RG3 has. And Colt McCoy was somewhere in between those two quarterbacks. So we've got to study hard the RG3 offenses and the things that they've done with him and get ready for him. He's still a dynamic player. He really looked like he benefited from a little bit of perspective and taking a step back and looking at it, because he came out there with a little bit of confidence, that old swagger you saw, and he ran the ball a little more aggressively, and he put the ball on the money and threw it a little bit more accurately, and it looked like he had a better understanding. So I think he's gained from a little bit of perspective from sitting back and watching for a little bit.
Would you say that the scheme overall deep is focused on run stopping first?
No, it depends on who we're playing. I mean, we really can move. It's a very flexible scheme, and absolutely to stop the Dallas Cowboys, we believe that shutting DeMarco Murray down and stopping the run was the first part of that. Then what complicates that is they have so many weapons, and you saw that. They have Dez. They've got Beasley in the slot. They've got Witten. So now where are they moving the ball, and how do you go ahead and shift from, hey, let's stop the run? You have to pick something in every plan. You got to say, this is first, this is second, this is third, and then as the game goes on and the score changes, you've got to kind of move it a little bit. But this scheme is very flexible, so we can change that on the run.
You had said that you regretted the Green Bay game. Was that a similar game plan to this in terms of how much single high you played?
No, I think that, I guess, yes. I regretted not going right away to the, you know, a different plan, that I was pretty stuck on a single high probably for a series too long, and then all of a sudden, bam, that score went haywire on us, and now you have no move, but it was similar.
If you look at Marcus Smith, he's now jumping positions throughout the year. He can't get on the field during the game. If you look at his development, where is he, and where is he relative to what you wanted at this time?
Well, out of necessity, we had to move him, and that's not does not benefit him in his progress. It does not. So we set him back by moving him inside. But we needed that because of all the injuries we had at inside. And it's a credit to him that he's got both the mental capability and the physical capability to go inside and learn. Now, he didn't overtake anybody because he's never been in there. So what we did was, I didn't think he'd overtake anybody, never having done it. But now as we grow and go forward, that's something that he can use as a plus instead of a minus that it was this year. And now he goes back outside. Again, he's got to get the rust off. And again, from that aspect, we have, his development has been, stifled a little bit because of what we've had to do. But again, I think in the long run, I think in the future, he'll benefit from this move.
So where is he in the long run? Is he an outside linebacker? Is he an inside linebacker?
I'm not positive right now. I would say outside first, but I still think the jury's out on him. I still think I like a little some flashes inside when he understands it. And that's the thing that's tough to, where's his understanding? When a player really understands his role and how to do it, he plays fast, and you see Michael Kendricks and how he's getting better and better. His understanding, and all of a sudden that athleticism is, it's showing, where at first it wasn't because he was thinking. So right now as you judge Marcus, you got to kind of, slow down the judgment a little bit and say, we moved him. Where's his understanding? And let's see how good he can be at this.
You mentioned the plays that Romo kind of underthrew the first time. Mm-hmm. He missed on some plays. Mm-hmm. So did the fact that he was a lot better in this rematch kind of take you by surprise a little? And did you maybe fail to plan for that?
No, it did not take us by surprise at all. You saw it in the Chicago game that he was back there. And you saw he looked very different. And I think everybody knows that was a different Tony Romo on Thanksgiving. And we were fully aware of him getting back to throwing the ball like he had. His mobility we knew was up from the Chicago tape. And we knew that with 10 more days of rest that he'd be there. So we did not fail to plan. We were going to stop the run first, and they made some throws and catches on us, and we didn't have our best day. We did not.
You mentioned the job Romo did against your pressure on Sunday. Overall this season, have you been happy with your blitz?
Well, it's some of it what contributes to all the sacks we have, but it's also the coverage behind it. So I think it's like anything. There are weeks that you're real happy with a pressure package, and there's weeks you're happy with the four-man rush, and you don't need the pressure package. So I would say I'd have to answer that on a week-by-week basis. And the other night we didn't get the blitz home enough. Or, on his side, he got the ball out before we got there.
I mean, you haven't blitzed a whole lot this season. I think it's somewhere around 32%. Yeah. Is that pretty much standard for what you wanted to do?
I'd like it to be a little higher than that. But, again, you can't. The other night the blitzes were turning into touchdowns. So you have to kind of watch and say, okay, what's their protections that are going on right now? How many are they keeping in? How many are they getting out? What's a quarterback's, what's his comfort level right now and how well is he playing? So I move in and out of how many times we're going to pressure. I don't go into it with I'm going to pressure 40% or 50. It's a little bit of feel again. What's the score? Are they run pressures? Are they pass pressures?
Now, in preparing for a game like this, do you have to be extra careful, extra emphatic about telling you guys to keep their discipline? Because with Deshaun involved, things could get feisty and you could draw some yellow flags.
Absolutely. I think we have that conversation often. Chip does a great job of talking about, what helps the team and what hurts the team. And we're fully aware that that's part of this game. We saw it a little bit in the first game with them. But I think we've got a pretty mature group, and I think it should be in check.
Barwin has given a lot of credit to other guys in the front seven over the season, but especially Trent Cole. Are you concerned at all about, what his absence may do in terms of the pass rush and maybe the effectiveness?
Well, there's no doubt that Trent is a big part of why we rush the passer well, and other guys get sacks around Trent because he moves the quarterback off his spot. But when you put Brandon Graham in there, Brandon is not far off of that, and Brandon's got a lot of power to him, and when Brandon's in, we get a lot out of that predator spot right now, and both guys are good. We'll definitely miss Trent, make no mistake about that, but we're also very confident in Brandon's ability.
Do you feel like you have enough flexibility within the scheme as it is, to do what you want, to adjust in-game?
Absolutely. I think it's one of the most flexible schemes I've been part of. I mean, we really can move in and out of stop and read option teams and playing really an odd front, an even front. As much as we want, we can manipulate who gets the help by the game as it goes on during that game. Early on, we had help to Dez, and then we didn't have it with Witten early, but then we switched it to Witten. So it was very easy to do. The players understand the concepts, and I'm very happy with the flexibility of the scheme.
Games your team has been on the field for over your defense has been on the field for over 40 minutes a game. What kind of lasting toll is this taking, especially so late in the year, on your defense right now?
Well, right now, what you know going into every game is you have really 12 times you have to get out there as a defense. You take the field 12 times. The games that we aren't on the field forever, those 12 series, we have more three and outs and four and outs. The problem is us, nothing else. It is us getting ourselves off the field and putting the number of snaps low. We've had many where we've had 13 and 14 sometimes stops that we had to go out there and make, but they were three, four, five play drives, and we were fresh and we were off the field and the offense was going. When we don't get off the field, it's a product of what we're doing, and we've got to make sure our third downs are better. A couple of those long drives in the early in that game were because we couldn't get ourselves off on third down. So it's about turning the ball over on third down and causing turnovers. Defensively, we have to get that cleaned up, or it will take a toll on us. But we're the ones that are keeping ourselves out there.
Speaking of that, sustaining right now.
What's that?
But you're sustaining right now, you feel like?
Absolutely. I think our guys are as well-conditioned as anybody, and we train to be able to play 80 snaps a game, and our guys are there is no dip in their effort or really their stamina at the end of a game.
Isn't there also a reverse side to that coin? I mean, if you're saying you need to get off the field for the offense, when they're not on the field, then you are necessarily having to go back on the field. So time of possession, doesn't that also matter?
We're absolutely tied together, and the quicker we get the ball turned over for offense, the more success they a lot of times have because their defense doesn't get to rest as long. So really my world is the defensive world, and my world is how do we solve the problem of all these snaps? And then really the answers lie within ourselves defensively and what we can do to get off the field. And I think that a big product of that is our third down production. And we're about middle of the pack in third down, and we've got to get lower than that to get off the field and help the whole team succeed.
But the last few games, it seems like one of the big reasons you can't get off the field is penalties. Is there a common thread there? Is there something that you have to reinforce?
If it were all the same type of penalty, I'd say yeah, Les. But right now, I think we've had all kind of different penalties on us, and it's definitely something that we've got to improve on. It's very frustrating when we make plays and all of a sudden you see that flag out there, and you know you when you think you're off the field, all of a sudden you have to stay back out there. And some of it's technique, some of it's discipline, but we absolutely have to clean the penalty part of it up, and it hurt us the other night.
It was the same penalty the other night. It was two illegal contact penalties, I believe, extended drives, both scoring drives. Was there a threat between those two?
Or a different player. I know on one play, Carey had the interference, and Boyd grabbed low, can't grab. Carey shoved the guy out of bounds late, you know, in the back of the end zone. Quarterback's still in a pocket, so you can't do it. So it's a flag. I mean, they're legitimate flags, and when you get called, you get called. We just have to make sure that we constantly practice and do it the right way and try to keep the discipline tight on – they hurt. They hurt bad. I mean, they turned into scores. Where we're off, instead of a three, it's a seven. And we've got to make sure that's part of winning football games and playing winning football.
Last two guys. Maybe a week or not even with practices, but the new safety, Coupland. Can you talk about what you've seen in him?
It's really early in that process. I think he's a good, strong, good-looking athlete that can run. He's got range. He's got length. He's very intelligent. It's very reassuring when you get these guys come in and they're highly intelligent. He's got a high football IQ. Picking up the defense is really about just changing terminology. So we're excited about him and what he's, he potentially could bring.
You mentioned Griffin and the benefit he had in terms of that time off. Athletically, though, is he different player or comparable to what you saw 2 years ago?
I think he's comparable. I mean, if you watch it, him jump in that Giants game, he was flying around now. He looked like he was energetic about his runs, and he looked like a different guy that really had some rest and had some time to heal. So I think he's getting a lot closer to what he once was than what he had been lately with all the kind of controversy surrounding him. Okay, thanks, guys.